Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, Facebook families, Great Gate Ministries supporters, and friends and brothers and sisters everywhere. Good morning. It's a wonderful morning. God bless you. We're so blessed to be here once again, and we thank God that you have decided to be here with us. Amen. We got a good topic today, and we want to talk to you on a subject that I think will bless you throughout the rest of your week, and really the rest of your life. God is so awesome. Amen. So we're happy you decided to tune in and be with us, and we're going to go right ahead. I said I was going to show you a thing that came to my mind about a situation that was online dealing with something that was going on right now in the world. We'll do that too, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here in just a minute. But we thank God for you. I am so happy. I am Pastor Landis Fisher, and it's always a great blessing to serve the Lord and be able to worship and teach. Amen. That's our forte in life. We love that. Okay. And we know that it is by God's word that you and I are built up in the faith. Amen. And we've been talking about that. So before we do all this and break loose with these things God has given, let us go ahead and have a word of prayer today. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you. We exalt you. We just lift up your name. Lord God, we're praying right now everywhere, all over this area, Lord, and around the world, that you be exalted in everything, Lord God, because you are the source of all things. You know all things. You have created all things, and for your glory they exist, including us, the earth, the heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything, Lord God. Is to your praise and to your glory. And so, Father, we thank you for letting us be a part of it. We thank you that you've given us the calling to come to you, Lord God, and count on you. Father, we thank you that you have made a way to forgive us of all of our sin, Lord. That's so monumental. And you did it so that you didn't even have to stain your glory, Father. So we just bless your name today. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his resurrection from the grave and the empty tomb, O God. And Father, we thank you for the power of the cross, Lord, and everything that you have provided through giving your own son and the revelation of it that's in your word. Father, we pray health and blessings for all of your people everywhere. Father, we pray protection against hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. Father, we pray for confidence and spiritual fortitude in the mind, Lord God, that your children will be able to continue to press on and not be assaulted by the attacks of the wicked one and the enemy and the world and even from their own flesh. Lord God, we pray you strengthen every one of us, O God, in the spirit of our minds and teach us, Lord God, to walk by faith and not by sight. And so, Lord God, we ask you to look at all the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, Lord God, everybody. We pray for those families that have lost loved ones or have loved ones going through changes right now, Lord God. Father, about the health situation or whatever it is, Lord God, a financial situation. We know you're able to fix all of that and then some. And so, Father, we just want to thank you for what you have already done. You have already showed up in our lives, Lord God, and done a masterful work. And so, Father, for that and everything else, we praise you. We even praise you for the difficult things that you allowed us to go through because we couldn't have made it without you. And so, Father, we want to thank you right now and give you all the glory. Father, we thank you for favor that you keep showing us every day. Lord God, you show us favor and grace. And we love it, Father, because we don't deserve it. But you are such a good God that you keep on pouring out grace and mercy and favor. And so, Father, we want to say thank you today from the bottom of our souls, Lord God. And we just bless your name. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Father. We pray you give us a mind that is set on you. Help us to get out of the frivolous things of this life, Lord God, to be able to see your plan, Lord, and teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, as our heads are bowed, we want to pray a special blessing for Brother Benny. Lord, he is going through some changes, and we believe you have brought him through. And so we just want to ask you to give extra faith to him and his family today, Lord, that they may be able to make it through this time, Lord God. And we just thank you for your miraculous intervention in his life. And we thank you for everybody who is tuned in right now under the sound of my voice. Bless your word today, Lord God, as it goes forth. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the saints all together said, amen, amen, hallelujah. We want to thank God for his awesome grace and the privilege to be a part of his church. Amen. We always like to mention that there are just two families, and either you're in God's family or you're in the other one. And in order to be in God's family, you must be have faith. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. That means born from above, be given a new birth experience. And whoever has been born from above is in the family of God. And whoever hasn't, we want you to be in the family of God. God is extending you an invitation right now. If you have not put your trust in Jesus, his son, to do so right now. Amen. We got plenty of room. God has created and stretched forth the heavens to show you how vast his wisdom and his power is. We're going to look in the word and talk about that in just a minute. But what I was looking at, and the thing I'm going to start with, and this may be a little foolishness, so give me a minute here. But I mentioned it earlier. We got all these people searching, trying to scour the heavens and the earth and find out stuff. And I was thinking to myself, what a frivolous thing. They're about to send up a big balloon, I'm told, and you can look this up on CNN, any of the big news feeds, the size of a football field. And it's going up to supposedly go out into space, and we're going to find out how the stars were created. That's what they said. And y'all pardon me for being a little cynical, but I said, I'm going to do the same thing right here on our live today. I'm going to show you how the stars were created. I'm going to use the balloon. Take a big balloon, and then we're going to send it down, not up. And the stars were created. It says right here in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. End of experiment. We're done. That's it. So this is what you and I need, is to understand that God has created everything. Yeah, you can search the heavens, search the earth, but you can search right here and find the mind of God and the protection of God, the salvation of God, the grace of God, and he knows the end from the beginning. He said this. He said in Mark 13:31 that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so we need to count on his word. His word is more sure than the very ground upon which we're standing. So we just thank God for his word. And this is where we got to get. Now, last week we talked a little bit about understanding the flesh and the spirit. And I sent out a little poll out to some of you, and you answered me back that you wanted to talk a little more about that and understand that a little better. So we're going to do that over the next few days. This whole year, which has been a very odd year, we've been talking about living life in the spirit, which was the theme that we chose for the year. And it's amazing because we sure have needed it. I really have needed it. I have needed to understand things about God, spiritual things, so that he can connect me with all the chaos that's going on and all the confusion in the world. I really needed it this year, and I guess God knew we all needed it. Amen. So we're going to talk about that just a little. Today, I'd like you to find in your Bible, when you have opportunity, Psalms 19, or you may have our notes, which are posted online. They are also on teachingbible.org, which is our home website. And we want to look at Psalms 19, which is a psalm of David. And then in the New Testament, take a look in the epistle to Titus. Amen. We love Titus. We love all the books of the Bible. I told my church I'm going to stop saying that, because every time I mention any verse, I say, well, this is my favorite part of the Bible, which it is. But if you love God, you love his word. Amen. And he keeps on opening it up and giving you more and more revelation every day. So I want to talk with you on the subject today of God's gift of spiritual progress. God has given his gift of spiritual progress from the very beginning. When Adam first went into sin, God, even though the devil was dead bent on destroying Adam, that was his idea, because he knew that God had said, the day you sin and disobey my law, you shall surely die. The devil was the father of murder and of death. He wanted to destroy Adam and mankind right away. I think there was a bit of jealousy there, perhaps, like, because there's a question asked later on in the Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man? And these are the angels saying this, some of them. And so I believe there was always an animosity. Why would you make man, who is a little lord in the angels, and crown him with glory and honor, as it says in Hebrews, and give him charge over the works of your hands? Maybe there was a little jealousy in there. I don't know. We'll find out about that. Why would the devil be set dead bent on breaking you down and destroying you? But the fact is, that's his side of it, but the good side, and this is the part for me and you today, God did not want us to be destroyed. He made us to love on us. That's why he gifted man with all of the heavens and the earth, put them under his feet. And so God's gift of spiritual progress began to kick in right then and there from the very beginning, and God extended grace to our federal parents, if you will, Adam and Eve. In other words, without them, there would be no people on the earth. And he decided to give a gift of spiritual progress to all who put their trust in him. And so that still goes on. And then he just amplified that all the way through. And you're going to see it all the way till the trumpet sounds that God is giving the gift of spiritual progress. So let's talk about that now. This is where we get into the area that we spoke of concerning the flesh and the spirit. Man's fallen flesh, after Adam sinned, brings him into a situation where of compromise with his relationship with God. See, we sometimes compromise in our relationship with God. We allow a thing in life or a thing that we desire from within in our own flesh or something in the world that we want to pursue to become more important to us than God. And so God understands that we're bent, we're twisted, we're out of shape because of the fall and the impact of original sin on our lives. But is that okay? No, it's not okay, but God realizes that stain is there, and we call that whole thing the flesh. It's not the physical body. The body happens to be the vessel that contains the spirit and the soul. That just as James puts it this way, he says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. See, so we believe God, we need to walk by faith, Paul says, not by sight. And began to engage our body in the things that God says are wholesome, right, and pure, and whatsoever is good, he told the Philippians, and whatsoever is right, and all those things, whatever is of good report, spend your mind on those things. So it's going to be a matter of mind control whether we walk in the flesh or in the spirit. Now keep in mind, both things I'm speaking of, you do have human flesh, which is your body, and we know that's not the problem. I'm going to give you a verse to support that. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us. You know what he's talking about there? Jesus. So Jesus was in a body of flesh. So it's not this flesh, the physical body, that creates the problem. It's the mindset which is bent against the will and the purposes of God. That is the flesh, a way of thinking that is anti-God. Like the thing I mentioned about folks looking out to see, and I guess it's okay if they want to look up there and say, we're going to take a look and see, when all you really have to do is look right here, and God has already given you the answer. This is true of so many things in your life and in mine. God has already given the answer, and it's right there. It's amazing to believe that I can just pick up one thing, and I can, in the power and the grace of God, by his spiritual gift, I can understand that he loves me, and he can give me an answer to things that man acts as though he doesn't know, and we need to seek it out and find it out. But the fact is, you can get a spirit of peace in your mind. And we talked about this. Isaiah 26:3 says that whoever's mind is stayed on the Lord will have perfect peace. See, that's what we need, perfect peace. And God is the only one who can supply that. He loves you enough that I will give you perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. So there it is again, the focus of perfect peace. And joy in my life comes from where I spend my time and invest my mind on the things of God versus anything else. See? And so God has promised that everything else that he has made, since it is tainted with sin, is headed for destruction. So there's not anything that we can do to preserve it. We might get to slow it down, but we can't stop it because God has already determined that he will create a new heaven and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells forever and ever. And this problem with sin won't ever rise again. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I want to stop right there and say, hallelujah, I praise your name. There won't be any more sickness, no more death, no more crying, for the former things will have passed away. God says, behold, I make all things new. So that's his promise. And can he do it? Let's ask that question. You know, like some other folks like to say, can he do it? Or won't he do it? Yes, he will. You know how we know? Because he sent his own son right in the midst of human history and revealed that I alone have the answer to the problem of death. So when Jesus was crucified out there on Calvary, and he hung, bled, and died, having fulfilled all the promises necessary that God has spoken from the creation on up until that moment, and he said it is finished, he did everything God required and decreed in his word, then it says he commanded his spirit to leave from his body once it was done, because all that beating, flogging, whipping, spitting, thorns in his brow, all that stuff, they flogged him all night long, beat him, spit on him, ripped his clothes off, humiliated and disgraced him. That would be enough to kill me. I don't think I would have been dead long before it happened. But we know he was supernatural because he endured all that. See, it says in the book of Hebrews that it was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So his mission was complete, even though it was brutal, it was gruesome, it was ugly. It was the ugliest thing ever happened in the history of humanity, that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died on the tree. But it was also the will of God. God had ordained it from before the foundation of the world in order to make his son the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Keep this in mind, he did that for you. Now what he does, and the reason I want you to understand this topic today, is God began right away distributing the gift of spiritual progress to the people who would believe him. So it has to do with, do you believe him? If you believe him, the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's the strengthening of God that adds into your life what you need to make it through all the opposition. And most of the time, people will say, well, stop right there, preacher. Why must there be all this opposition? And the reason is God does not force his way into your life. He wants you to understand the truth. So that's why he sends people such as me to preach the truth and others, thousands of others, in order so you can know the truth. And remember when Jesus came, his principal focus on earth was to create and make disciples. He called men to come and learn from him. See? And he invested 3.5 years making them into disciples in order that after he did the marvelous work that he completed on the cross to repurchase the earth and get the title deed to the earth back to God, that he earned it for God again through his works and his perfect righteousness, which no other man had ever done. He redeemed mankind, it says, you know, in the scripture. In other words, he bought us back out of the bondage of the devil. The devil had set up destruction and it continues on, but God does not want to violate you to believe that. So he printed it in his word. It's been published in the word. And God says it's easier for the heavens and the earth to pass away than for anything that he has said in his word to fail. So this is how much he loves you. His love never changed. He allowed man to go on, and he gives us example after example after example of people who some believed and some didn't throughout the scripture, all the way through. Even from Cain and Abel, the first sons that we read about in the word of Adam and Eve, one believed, one didn't. One killed the other one. You see what I'm saying? Cain slew Abel. And Abel's works were considered righteous, and Cain had taken the bait of the devil. So it has to do with where is your mind? And this is why we're talking here today about God's gift of spiritual progress. He will give the gift of spiritual progress to everyone who believes him, anyone who believes him, no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what you know, how smart you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. Makes no difference about the status that you have here in earth. If you believe God, the Bible says it will be accounted to you for righteousness. And it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. See, this is one of the big confusions of the devil. People think, oh, if I just do some good things, then my good things will outweigh my bad things, and God will accept me. No, ma'am, no, sir, not at all. Nobody has ever been saved by good works, ever, in the history of the world. Everyone who was saved in the history of the world has been saved by faith, see? And they have been saved by believing in God who gave them a gift of faith, and they walk by faith and not by sight. And this is where we get into the balance of the flesh versus the spirit. To walk in the spirit means I believe God. I trust what he says. I trust what he teaches. I believe what he says. I believe what he teaches. And I don't accept anything that contradicts what God said. And so you learn to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what happened in the case of Cain and Abel. Abel knew that God required a blood sacrifice. Why? Because when Adam and Eve had sinned, it says in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made coats of skins and covered them, because they had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, the works of their own hands. God said, nope, not good enough for me. I can't accept that offering. And so he covered them with the skins of an animal who died. See? And there was death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. From the very beginning, the Most High God, who was a good friend of theirs before, and they ran and hid once they got deceived by the devil, came and brought an animal, slew the animal, and covered Adam and Eve with the covering of a blood sacrifice. And that was when the message of the gospel actually began. And God was setting up a gift of grace and spiritual progress for Adam and Eve. I don't want to destroy you. So I have a substitute that's coming when the fullness of time comes. Of course, they weren't aware of that, but he made a substitute available right there on the spot to cover them for their sin so that he could put them on the course of receiving the gift of spiritual progress. He wanted them to continue, in other words. And so God wants you to continue. He loves you just like you are. He's already made a sacrifice sufficient to cover you and me for every sin. And he has already put us on the course of spiritual progress if we believe it and if we receive it. And the only way we can believe it and receive it is God has to give you that gift. And we call that being born from above or being born again. And so that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in order to see this, understand it, and believe it, God has to intervene in your life. And you know what? He wants to do that. It's not difficult for him to do. It's his great pleasure to save you. It's his great pleasure to sanctify you. It's his great pleasure to teach you to how to understand things in accordance with his way and his word. And so that's where we see all the great conflicts in the world now. The world is under a situation right now where there's a lot of things happening on a global level, a lot of which are not good. So at times like this, we really need a Savior. We need God's intervention. We need him to be in our thoughts and in our minds to guide us and protect us. And so God will do that. He has promised that he would do that. Now let's take a look here at Psalms 19 to get us into the word here. Psalms 19 and 1, starting off here, the heavens are telling, and I'm reading the CEV here, so if it sounds a little different in your translation, I normally don't read the CEV, normally, I mean the KJV or the NASB, but for the purposes of this lesson, the CEV seems to make it a little more plain, so I thought we'd do this. The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he has done. So you can look at what he made and see how awesome he is. You know, the whole system of the heavens and the earth and the stars and the sun and the moon, that's some awesome stuff. So I can understand why, man, if you don't believe, you might like to check that out a little more carefully. And it's okay. I don't put that down. But I believe what God says. And so I trust that he has made the heavens and the earth, and that he did it to show his glory, that they declare what he has done. It's not Psalms 19:2. Each day informs the following day, that each night announces the next. In other words, it's a cycle God put in motion, and it's a flawless cycle. Have you noticed that? That's what I mentioned last week. The day and the night, they come like clockwork. That's what we say, right? Clockwork, and it really is, literally, because they never are late. They always show up exactly at the time they're supposed to. Everything God does is a perfect cyclical thing, and it keeps on doing what it's supposed to do. You see, the heavens are showing you how precision his wisdom is, how perfect his knowledge is, how great his understanding is. See? Because they do not fail. The sun and the moon and the stars and the rotation of the earth and day and night goes on with flawless accuracy. It has been all of the days of my life, and I'm sure yours and everyone else before us. And it's going to continue until God says that's enough. See? Beautiful thing when you consider it, but it's really telling the glory of God. Verse 3, Psalms 19:3, they don't speak a word. In other words, you don't hear them saying anything, and there is never the sound of a voice. See, you don't hear anything saying, this is what I'm doing. It just keeps doing it, and it does it, and it does it perfectly. Why? Because a perfect, righteous, holy, all-knowing God set it in motion, and he made it perpetual where it never fails. Amazing. He's an amazing being. The only one like him. Verse 4. Yet their message, speaking about the things he created, reaches all the earth. In other words, all around the planet, you know that there's an awesome God. And it travels around the world in the heavens, a tent. He set a tent up for the sun. Or the sun goes out, comes back. He's got that all fixed up in the way things rotate and everything around the planet. See? And so it's a wonderful thing how he did that. And the heavens are showing you the glory of God. And everything he made, I mean, everything around you is a miraculous kind of a thing. A flower is a beautiful thing. I just recently bought a bouquet for my wife. We look at it like, man, this thing is beautiful. You can't make anything like it. With all the technology you have, you can make nothing like that that's perpetual. It keeps on reproducing itself and so on and so forth. It's a wonderful thing, and everything God made is like that. You are a wonderful creation of God. God made you exactly like you are. He made you for a particular purpose, and there's nobody else like you anywhere on earth. See? So you have to rejoice in the fact that God made me to be this way, and he loves me, and I'm a part of his continuing production of glory, the fact that he shows glory in everything that he makes. Moving on in the Psalms here, Psalm number 19, again, talking about the sun, it rises like a bridegroom that gets ready, like a hero eager to run a race. The sun comes faithfully every day and does whatever it's supposed to do. And it travels all the way across the sky. Nothing is hidden from its heat. In other words, it provides the exact amount of light to everything that it's supposed to. Perfection. God is a God of great perfection. So don't ever let the devil tell you there's something wrong with you. You know, and he will. Your own conscience will say there's something wrong with you. It'll put you down and try to make you feel bad. But God made you. You are a creation of God, and he loves you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He formed you, like he told Jeremiah, before I knew you, I formed you, and I ordained you. God has plans for your life. See? And the devil can't change it. The world can't change it. The flesh can't change it. Whatever you're going through, God is going through with you, and he wants you to get on this path of spiritual progress. And so God has made it available for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he has ordained the church to go out and preach it to the ends of the earth until he returns. So this first part of Psalms 19 is talking about the creation and the manifestation that it shows everybody that there is a God. That's why I don't know why they spend so much money and time sending up balloons and rockets and all that. And I guess it's fine if they want to do it. But the fact is, God created everything, and they're going to find out that that's true before it's all done. And you can speculate, you can prognosticate, you can do all kinds of stuff, but God's glory is going to show through when it's all done. Amen. It's a good thing to know it now and have faith right now that I can trust God and walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have to be shaken or in mind or troubled about anything because I already know the story. So the law of the Lord, now he moves in verse 6 here. He starts to talk about not the general revelation of God, but now the specific revelation of God. That would be God's word, what God has given, what he has spoken to me and you. And so this is the part we can get in now and kind of a little bit more intellectually grasp. He says the law of the Lord is perfect. Everything God has spoken is perfect. It gives us new life. His teachings last forever. And they give wisdom to ordinary people. See that? That's why I picked the CEV. The Lord's instruction is right. It makes our hearts glad. He commands, his commands shine brightly and they give us light. See that? When God tells us a thing, it shines brightly and gives us light, shows us which way to go. Like the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, God will show you how to go where you need to go. And he has spoken it and written it in his word. So we don't have to look around and search the universe trying to find out what we should do. God loves you and he's told us what to do. He's given us revelation. And it's spiritual progress when we learn to receive the revelation from God and walk in it. Amen. No matter what we see else going on, we don't worry about that stuff. We set it aside. We put it on a level lower than God's word. God's word is always on top. And we keep it in the forefront of our mind, and that gives us spiritual progress. We begin to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now, keep in mind, I want to go back and connect this to the previous teaching. The flesh does what it wants to do. That's kind of like the spirit of Cain. Well, Abel, you gave God what he wanted, but I don't want to do that. In fact, I hate you for doing what God said. And you want to know why there's hatred, prejudice, and all of that? There it is. The flesh is where that dwells. So if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God, Romans 8 says. And that goes all the way back to the first human parents, and it continues right on up to this very second. So the way to get rid of prejudice, all of that stuff, is not going to be litigation. It's not going to be rules and regulations. It's going to be people's hearts turned to God so they understand that all men and women are created equal. And so that's where it is. It's not going to be done by law, and you can't make anybody do anything. Law is against the man's human spirit. The fallen human spirit hates law. Don't tell me what to do. That's the first thing we want to say. You know, and people, lawlessness is the thing that's going to be a great part of the destruction that comes up on the world. And I believe it's responsible for all the things that are out of order in the world. Lawlessness. People decide, well, we don't like law. You know what? And no one really does, truth be told. So if we love God's law, it's because he made a change in us to bring us to a place where we love his law. And the law now rebukes me and it tells me I'm not right because I'm not doing it perfectly. See? And now I'm being spiritual because I can now approach doing it right. I can confess that I'm not doing it right. And God will say, he said, if you confess your sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So now I'm going to make spiritual progress because I agree with God. If I lie, I confess it. God, I lied. If I steal, I confess it. God, I stole. And I agree with his law that it's right. See? And so that's where the progress begins, is when I begin to see that what God said is right. And what I'm thinking and the way I did it, not right. Got to come clean before God. Then I can have a clean conscience. And he can take me to another step deeper spiritually. And so my fallen flesh said, whatever. You know, we don't believe God, and then it goes on and does what it wants, or it tries to say God doesn't exist, and then therefore you make yourself God if you believe that God does not exist, or that something else is God, or even if you say there are multiple gods. That's not so, because the scripture is clear there's only one God. The very definition of the term God mandates that there would only be one, else you can't call it God, right? Because how can it be more than one? Only takes one if you're really God, see? And there aren't multiple gods. And that's why idolatry is a terrible thing when man creates his own gods. And that's been going on also. And that's how you can weasel away from the true God by doing stuff that you want to do or that the devil wants you to do to deny the truth. See, walking by the truth is the thing that's going to help me and you and to receive God's gift of spiritual progress. He promises, I'm going to give you progress. I'm going to make sure you're moving forward. That's why David was able to write when he wrote in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, he's teaching me. I shall not want. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. He's teaching me. He's guiding me. He's taking care of me. He's my shepherd. He says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, he does all these things, and you can see that people who trust God are being led by God. Even in Romans, it says in the New Testament, Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. See? So this walking with God and walking by faith and not by sight, that means no matter how many people around me disobey God and do what they do, I'm going to listen to God, confess that I'm not right, or either I'm going to rejoice that I am now, finally, because God has corrected me and gave me correction because I've been listening to him, learning from him, and he's given me the grace I need to keep on doing that, and that's giving me spiritual progress. I'm becoming more spiritual and less carnal. Carnal just means of the flesh. That's where we get words like the carnival. That's where you go to tantalize your flesh. Get on stuff to spin you around and catch you up and down and dips you in water and does all kinds of stuff of moving you around to tantalize your flesh. Merry-go-rounds, roller coasters, things of that sort. As carnal or carnival, as they call it, and it comes from the same root word as the term for the flesh. To be carnal means to be what your mind set on other things other than what God said in his word. To be spiritual means to set your mind on the things that are in God's word, like Paul told the Colossians, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See? So we want to focus our mind on God's word. Same thing the psalmist says in Psalm number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, we keep God's word fresh in our minds day and night. It's the focal point of our lives, and it therefore keeps us on a path of spiritual progress. And that is a gift from God. God gives you that gift of spiritual progress because he loves you. And he's paid the price so that you and I can know for sure that he loves us. And so this is what we wanted to discuss with you a little bit here today. I want to help you continue on this path of spiritual progress. Psalms 19 goes on to say, the Lord's instruction is right. It makes our hearts glad. That's verse 8. His teachings last forever, it says in verse 7. It gives us new life in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's got everything we need in it. There's nothing missing. That's verse 7. And verse number 9 says, worshiping the Lord is sacred. When we worship him because he's worthy of it, it's a sacred thing. And he will always be worshiped, whether everybody does it or not. Eventually, the scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So you're going to get there where you're going to worship him. But the matter is, will you be saved when you get there? And the way you get saved, trust God, believe him that he has given his son, Jesus, to pay the debt for all your sins, and raise him out the grave to prove he is the only one who paid the bill, the only one who defeated death in the grave and retained that power that was lost when Adam sinned. Jesus went and collected the keys to death and hell and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. So you see how important it is for us to take time like this and hear the word and understand the word and grow in the word and share it with our families and other people, friends, relatives, neighbors, even enemies, you know? Because really, you know, the only reason people are out of whack is because they're not in God's word and they have not received the gift of God's spiritual progress like the ones who believe in him have. And so that's the whole difference. That's why there are only two families in the whole world, believers and unbelievers. Those who believe God and walk by faith, and the ones who deny God and do whatever else they want or do anything else other than trust in the true and living God. And so I want you to see one more here in Psalms 19. It says, verse 10, that they are worth more, speaking of the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, than fine gold and are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. By your teachings, Lord, I am warned. By obeying them, I am greatly rewarded. None of us know our faults. We can't understand sometimes why we are the way we are. And I'm going to take a minute right there because this is a difficult area. We wonder sometimes, and maybe this is just me. I'm not going to talk about this. But maybe have you ever looked at the way you think or how you got into a situation and you find out, boy, that was really whack. And your mind hears the voice of the Spirit saying, oh, that wasn't right. And then you go, yeah, it is awful. How did I get here? Well, the fact is, sometimes we slip into the flesh. And Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. See? So get back into God's word. When you mess up, fess up. That's what I always say. If you mess up, fess up. Tell God, I messed up. I realized it was not right. Turn it over to him. He says, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know why? Because God is dedicated to your spiritual progress. He won't let you fail. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, even when things are threatening my life, I know God is with me and I'm going to go through. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. People may be against you, but God says, I'm for you. People may hate you, but God says, I love you. See, everything the world tries to do in its fallenness against you, God nullifies it by telling you, I am for you and I bless you and I'm moving you forward. No matter what's happening, whatever's going on around you, you can always trust me. I'm always here. And you know what? God is so stable. He is not running around and flipping around and nobody's ever upset him or worried him or anything. We have to get like that. Be a little more solid in God. Understand, I love you. I chose you. If you came to me, it's because I chose you. You didn't choose me. John 15:16 said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. See, so God selects you. If you believe, it's because he gave you faith to believe. And he has everything you need. I was going to say the ability, but he has everything that you need to keep you on the path of spiritual progress. So God has invested a lot in your spiritual progress and in mine. And so we can, if we start to get into the word more and more, then we'll understand that more and more, and we'll feel a lot better. So one of the most clear facts about the Old Testament, just looking it over in a whole, is that the contents of the law of God, the Psalms, and the witness of the prophets gives us much clarity about the difference between good, bad, and bad human behavior. And it shows us a standard, a measurement of human behavior that no one has ever met with perfection except Jesus the Messiah, of whom it bears witness from Moses to Malachi. That's what the Old Testament does. Nobody in the Old Testament perfectly fulfilled God's law at all. The only one who did is Jesus, when he came at the proper time God had prescribed. And he did everything that all the law and the prophets had said that he would do in order to satisfy God entirely. I love Isaiah 53. It says there that God's righteous servant by his own works would justify many. How many? As many as believe. If you believe Christ, God loves you just like you are. And if you haven't believed, then we beg you today, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be the most best thing that you ever did, because God can turn your life around. No matter where you are, he is able to turn it around. He wants to give you the gift of spiritual progress. He wants you to begin to grow spiritually. And you know what? Start right away. Don't waste any more time. If you haven't done it, you might be thinking, oh, I'm old and it's too late, or I'm too young. There is no too old or too late. God called Abraham at 75, and he sanctified him and started to give him the understanding that I love you, I called you, I ordained you, and I'm going to use you for my purposes. And Abraham believed God, it says in Genesis 15:6. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. See that? Righteousness is accounted to you by God. It's not a thing you own or possess or that you can even produce. We can't even produce righteousness to satisfy a perfectly holy God. The only way that could be done, God had to give us righteousness by grace. And remember, we give you an acronym for grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. So God has provided grace for you, and he wants you to receive that grace. And it's even insulting if God is trying to give me a gift and I want to try to pay for it. Well, I can't pay for it. I messed up the gift aspect of it. It is a gift. God is giving it to you for free. You cannot earn it, and neither do you deserve it. None of us. We have never deserved or earned God's grace. God's grace is freely given to whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ and believes that God is raising from the dead. And so I want you to see here that the psalmist who wrote that Psalm 19, King David, expresses how the entire creation is broadcasting the unparalleled power of a perfectly wise and holy God, whose extreme glory is constantly on display for all peoples to see. And it provides an undeniable evidence of his endless capacity and his marvelous splendor in the first part of the psalm. And then it also in the first part it does that, and his righteousness and his perfect law, of which no human being has ever personally fulfilled. There's not been one human being that personally fulfilled God's perfect righteous law. Not one, except Jesus. He is the only one, the Messiah. And he has given the law in order to expose man's utter inability to ever claim self-righteousness. Nobody can say, oh, I'm holy and God will accept me because of what I'm doing. That just doesn't work. It doesn't happen, because no one has ever did that except Jesus. See, he's the only one. That's why he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And God sent him because he alone satisfies God. No one else does. See? And so by his sacrifice, he satisfied God entirely for whoever believes in him before he came and from the time he came on up to the last second in human history. And that time is coming. So you have one way. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you have one way to be saved, and that is by God's grace through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So we hope you make that choice, and if you have, rejoice in it. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the flesh steal your joy. Keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting in him by faith, and you'll see that he will keep on keeping you on the path of spiritual progress because he loves you. And it's for his benefit and for your benefit. He's keeping you on that path because he wants to rejoice with us in eternity. Amen? And so let's take a quick look at Titus here, the text in Titus, and I'm almost done. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed." Now, does that sound like what we see all in the world today? I don't think so. You know, people who love God understand that government and authority is something God created. It's not righteous or holy necessarily. They got the same problem we have. If they're not saved, then they're going to be reckless and fleshly and carnal and everything else. It doesn't make a difference whether they're a police or the president or a congressman or whoever they are. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to get that gift of spiritual progress. See? But God can use, he uses everyone. He used Balaam's jackass to straighten out a situation, and he can use anybody to do anything. You see what I'm saying? But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are in and of themselves right. The only way you can be right is trusting God. The same way you and I have to be saved, politicians, police, judges, all of them have to come the same way. There's not two ways, there's only one. And it's for everybody. And so, but God knows we need a system to keep everything from just coming undone, so he ordained human government. And I'm happy that human government is there, even though it's flawed and reckless and a lot of times doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and there's some injustice in there. Some of those people are in Christ and they're saved, and they understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, even though there's some in there who are lost. So you got people from both families that are involved in government and all of that, and many people who are saved are in there. So we can't just throw them all under the bus. Titus, Paul's letter to Titus says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. See that? So you just wait on an opportunity to share Christ. If somebody's out of the way, the only way they can get right is to receive Christ as their Savior. So that's going to be the focal point of where I interface with them, other than when they tell me to disobey God. And at that point, if the government or any of them tell you to disobey God, you obey God and let God worry about the difference. It's not that he's going to worry about it, but let him deal with the difference, because he will when you trust him. He says to malign no one. To malign means to speak evil of no one. And to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. See that? So Christians have an obligation from God not only to obey authority, pay your taxes, all those kind of things, but also to malign no one, because if you see them out of order, you understand what their problem is. See? Their problem might be that they don't know God, and they might need to be evangelized and told the truth so they can be saved, or this type of thing. So you malign no one, you be peaceable, gentle, and show every consideration for all men. See, so you understand God is interested in all men. He wants everyone to hear the gospel and be saved. So it doesn't make any difference what office they're in or how they interface with you in life. So he goes on to say, verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves. Think about that. That's what I was just sharing with you. Disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We came out the same old group that all these people who are still in that group came out of. Realize that. God redeemed you. He bought you out. He gave you the gift of spiritual progress, and he wants to give it to them too. So have a little grace for them. See, we want to be like God in that way, and like Christ, that we put up with a little foolishness. We don't blow up instantly because somebody doesn't agree with us. See that? Have a little bit more grace and a long fuse before you go off and misunderstand somebody who's out of the way. Because the reason they're that way is they do not know Christ. They need to connect with Jesus, and it's your responsibility to side with God and get them on that path of spiritual progress. God will give them the same gift he gave you if you just direct them and tell them the gospel. And I want to stop there and put a pin. The fact is, the gospel, that means the good news that God has given his son, he has been crucified, buried, and risen, is the power of God. unto salvation. There is nothing else but the gospel that gets people saved. No one can be saved by keeping law. So if I spend all my time telling you where you're wrong and why you didn't do this, you didn't do that, it's not helping you. It's not going to help you because you can't even hear it. Your ear is dead. And the only way you can hear it is you must receive Christ. And when you believe that God has given his son to pay the full debt for your sin and raise him out the grave to give you proof, to know that your sin is covered and even death, no matter what the pronouncement is over your life, even if it's death, he can handle it. See? Only way anyone has ever been saved, the gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That means God sent it to his people, the Jews first, but he wanted it preached in all the world. He started with a Gentile whose name was Abraham, and he gave him the good news that in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this message must go on and shall go on all the way to the ends of the earth until God says that's enough. So we need to learn to share that grace and be able to share the grace of God's gift of spiritual progress. It's available to you right now. God wants you to succeed. And so looking on here just a little, Paul says that we were once foolish and disobedient and all of that. And then he says, but when the kindness, Titus 3 and 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, that's when Jesus came, the first advent, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See that? So God sent Christ in order to be able to pay our bill entirely, so that he could give us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to lead us and guide us to all truth. Isn't that awesome? Go ahead and say hallelujah right there if you like. And so he did this not only for us, that he poured all that agony upon his own son. He allowed the world to afflict his son, find him guilty, and crucify him in order to pay our bill. See, that's what should humble you right there. And he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing, see that? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you when you receive the gospel to renew you, to give you a new way of thinking, to give you a new understanding about your relationship with God, to give you a new understanding about your relationship with man, and to start you on that path of spiritual progress and keep you on there, because he promises that he'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. He says, I'll be with you always. When Jesus sent his apostles out in the book of Matthew chapter 28, he said in verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That's after he got out of the grave and defeated even death and the devil. He says, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. See that? The gospel is to all the nations. People want to accuse the Bible of something negative. No, 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 no. God said this gospel is for all the nations. For every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. See, there's never been a hint of any kind of prejudice or anything in there. God is preaching to the world. This gospel is to the whole world. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. So that's who God wants to save. You know why? Because he loves them all. But it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you hear somebody teaching something else, you're twisting the truth. Because God wants every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people to be saved. So you don't see any teaching about any prejudice there. None at all. Not one drop. So understand that. Moving on here, he says here, verse 7, Titus 3:7, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the promise of the hope of eternal life. And this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently. He told Titus, speak this confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. You see that? These things are good and profitable for men. So, yes, God does save us so we can engage in good deeds. And that's how we know that we've received God's gift of spiritual progress, because we began to do better. We get better. And as you know, I'll put this out there one more time, my friend Jimmy. I say once again, the biggest room in the world, room for improvement. You and I can always be better, and God's making you better every day. Amen. Isn't that glorious? Think about it. He loves you. He called you. He's forgave you of your sin, gave you a status of a son or a daughter, filled you with his Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you and guide you to all truth. The Holy Spirit is showing us Christ every day and in every situation, teaching us the Word of God, revealing it, opening it up so we can understand it. And he's doing this in order to keep you moving in a positive direction in your spiritual progress. Hallelujah. Don't you just love him? I think you ought to just say hallelujah right there. Amen, because God is able, and it amazes me he's willing. I see my time is about gone. Let me let you hear this last thing, and we'll be done. In Paul's letter to Titus, after a clear statement about the perfect provision of Messiah, Jesus, the only human having ever perfectly kept God's holy law, he instructs us through Titus that what a picture of a perfect society should look like, who are recipients of God's gospel, Jesus Christ, who makes possible for every believer God's gift of spiritual progress. That's what Titus is about, written to Titus, who was on the Isle of Crete. We don't have time to talk about that history there and that geography. But in either case, God loves you, and we hope you have a blessed spiritual day. We hope that if you have heard this message and you have believed it, then God will save you right now. Just before I dismiss, let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you for your miraculous word. Father, we thank you for the gift of spiritual progress. Father, I thank you for everyone hearing this word and understanding that you love them right now and you gave Jesus for them. And that if they simply take him by the hand, that you will save them right now. If they just believe that he rose from the dead and that you sent him for them, that they will be covered. And so, Father, we pray that for everyone under the sound of my voice who's hearing this message. We want to be in the family that is being saved. We want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Lord God, we just want to thank you and bless you for every home and family represented here. We pray for healing, miracles, God, because we know you can do anything. We pray for spiritual coverage for the people who are mourning. And for those who are sick, we pray for spiritual healing, Lord God, that you would bless them. And we believe you can do anything, Lord God, but fail. And so we thank you today. We give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints say it together. Amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Amen. See you Wednesday. Lord willing.